Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yankees Braves is your Discover Card key matchup. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year automatically. Go to discover.com/yes. By the way, the Yankees, I think, have won like, what, 8, 10 straight games? Dodgers and Yankees are on fire. That baseball's good when the Dodgers and Yankees are hot. No, Dodgers haven't won a World Series since what year? 2000. When's the last Yankee World Series?
I thought you were saying Dodgers.
No,
Dodgers just won.
Think about that. Dodgers 2000 or Yankees 2009. That's we're talking 12 years.
Yeah, I graduated college in 2009.
Yeah, Dodgers just won last year. So the Yankees have been good, but they haven't. I mean, just thinking about that, they're hot now. And I'm like, I still don't think they have a World Series winning team.
It's almost as if it's hard to win championships in sports.
Yeah. Brewers at 9-1, very interesting bet. Good pitching. Brewers at 9-1. Still think the Dodgers are going to win it, but Brewers at 9-1 is tasty. Dave Wannstedt coached the Bears and Miami. Both have young quarterbacks. Fans are crossing their fingers. They excel. And Dave Wannstedt now, Fox Sports, joining us live. So I just hear that Travis Etienne for the Jaguars, he's got Lisfranc injury. It's a foot sprain, being a cast. He's probably out for the season, maybe comes back later. I watched Jacksonville last night. Offensive line's bad. They don't have, you know, when Brian Flores took over the Dolphins, they had some commodities they could sell. Laremy Tunsil, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Ryan Tannehill. This Jacksonville situation, Coach, looks like a long rebuild to me. You've been in rebuild situations. How do you speed it up if you're Urban Meyer?
Well, obviously, you know, you're not going to be able to go out and recruit 25 players like you could in college. So it's you got to get players, though. Players win games. That's going to be the key. And Urban knows that. You know, when I was watching that game last night, and you know, to help Trevor Lawrence, they're going to have to sign, obviously, another running back or two. I mean, running the ball, you're not going to get the big plays as you would out of, you know, Etienne that you would somebody else. But my point is you got to run the ball, even if it's 2 yards a carry, no yards a carry. You're still going to have to stay committed to that running game, because that will help that offensive line that's a little bit undermanned right now, and that'll take a lot of pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, I would tell Urban, hey, stick with the run. You're not going to be real happy with it, but it's going to help your football team and particularly your quarterback.
Well, offensive linemen will tell you it's easier to run block than it is to pass block. And so, you know, offensive linemen love to run the football. That's why Pittsburgh offensive linemen last year were dropping back 50 times a game. That's not what offensive linemen like. Dave, let's go to Chicago, where you're sitting at right now. You know the Bears well. Dalton's going to be the starter. I've been told that Justin, the last 3 weeks, has really played well in practice. The lights come on for Justin Fields in the last 2 or 3 weeks at practice. What are you hearing today, the current situation with Dalton and Fields?
Well, all you're hearing up here is Fields. I mean, this is the wrong place to be and try to get a unbiased opinion on who should play. No, seriously, it's crazy. And, you know, as I watched the game the other day, you know, Justin, and I thought of something, and this is kind of interesting. You know, he gets in there at the end of the half. I'm watching Trevor Lawrence last night, and Trevor Lawrence, I don't know how many 2-minute hurry up offenses that he has been in where he had to go the length of the field and score and win. The comment was made with Justin Fields when he was in Ohio State that he had very few games, if any, maybe zero, that he had to come back in the fourth quarter and take the length of the field and win the game. So I'm watching these young kids, and the thought came to mind, you know, what is it? It's almost 60-70% of NFL games are won by a touchdown or less in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's going to be tough on these young kids, I think, that come out, and particularly Justin Fields, if the Bears are struggling, and Mitch Trubisky. The worst thing that happened to them in that last preseason game, the defense looked bad. You know, Justin was okay. Andy Dalton was okay. But Mitch Trubisky played the best preseason game he's played in his NFL career. Numbers-wise, he really didn't. He tore that defense up.
Yep.
And that compounded everybody's problems right here in Chicago. I mean, you know, now if Mitch can do that, now they're second-guessing, human nature. Should, you know, what happened? How can they get Mitch to play like that? And we couldn't.
Sure.
So it's not a healthy situation right now going into that first game, to be quite honest with you. There's not a whole lot of confidence right now in the city, and there's not a lot of confidence probably in the football team. So they're not going to play in this last preseason game. Justin Fields is going to play a half. I do believe he needs to play every week, and I would not just stick him in, Colin, and say, okay, you got the next two series. I would really let him zero in maybe on the red zone package, where he's got some runs and passes, and he knows the situation where he's going to be working. Because the NFL guys don't practice that much anymore, and you can't get enough quality reps with a young kid and just expect to put him in there and let him perform at a high level. So, you know, he's got to play. I would give him a couple little packages and put him in a situation that he's going to be comfortable with and give him a chance to be successful. But he's going to be the guy, and it's just a matter of how quick, because Andy Dalton, we kind of saw what Andy was. He's a great player. It was a great sign for the Bears now. He was the best free agent quarterback, in my opinion, that was available until they drafted Justin Fields.
So it is interesting. Down in Miami, they're playing Tua, and he's playing well. And, you know, listen, I think there's limitations to what he can do. But as you know, you made the playoffs with kind of quarterbacks with limitations. And, I mean, give me your kind of thoughts on what we're going to see from Miami this year with Tua and that offense.
Well, we talk about Brian Flores coming from Bill Belichick, you know, from his tree. And, you know, Bill is a defensive guy. And if Bill had his druthers, he would just as soon run the ball, play defense, and throw play action passes and throw a bunch of screens. I mean, really, that's the winning formula. And I defended it for years. I practiced against it when I was at the Bears and Bill was at Cleveland. We got together 3 years in a row and worked. So that's really what his DNA is. And I think Brian Flores will keep that same DNA with his football team, and that's going to give Tua a chance to keep being successful. I see the same thing with the Jets. I really do. I think that they're going to protect this kid, and they get it. They understand the importance of you know, running the ball and quick passes and all the things that you got to do, you know, to make the kid be successful, and hopefully it's enough to win the games.
So last year, Cam got COVID and missed some stuff, and then this year there's a snafu that reportedly, and I thought this was interesting, it leaked out that the Patriots were upset with Cam Newton. And my takeaway is the reason it leaked out is somebody wanted it leaked out, and the Patriots want you to know that it wasn't on them. It was on the player. And they're upset. According to a story, they're not happy with Cam. Is it enough so that Bill Belichick says, I'm done with it, let's go with Mac? Or do you think Cam, you know, who's worked very hard here now for over a year, do you think Cam's still the starter today in New England?
I do. I do, you know, and this goes back to Bill Parcells. And that's where I heard it from. And Bill Belichick, it kind of insinuated this story yesterday. I think I was here. He said every veteran, and I did this. I had this discussion when I was coaching the Dolphins with Joy's brother, Jason Taylor. And the thinking is this, that every player during training camp, whatever your top level of performance might be, some guys it's Pro Bowl level. Some guys it's just a solid player. whatever that level is, as a coach, I want to see that you get to that point. Every year you have to go back and get to that point. Once I see you playing at that level, then I feel good about saying he's ready to play. And I remember having that with Jason, and about 4 days into it, he was doing things that he did better than a year ago. So I started resting him and not doing much. And the players were saying, "Coach, what is?" I said, "Hey, he's playing at that level." I think the situation in New England and what Belichick was talking about, Cam is playing at a higher level right now. And Max if he outperforms him, then he'll be the starter. But he's not going to be the starter just because of what Cam did last year or because we drafted this kid in the first round. I think Belichick has it on a little different perspective than what some of these other organizations do. And I think that he's going just right by the film. And if he gets beat out in practice and the guy starts making better decisions and completing more passes, then he'll play. Otherwise, Bill is not going to give in to what the fans are saying and the media is saying.
Yep. Dave Wannstedt, Fox Sports, NFL analyst, Bears, Dolphins head coach. We're getting close, Coach. I'll see you Friday night in Chicago at dinner. We'll see you then.
Sounds good.
All right. But we're going over to Dave's house first for a pop.
One pop.
And then one pop, and we walk to the restaurant. Very excited.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tired of waiting around for hot water? Don't anymore. Save hundreds on a Navien tankless water heater. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Oh, Jacksonville. Urban Meyer still hasn't chosen a starter for week one between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew. Lawrence has started both preseason games, and it's likely that he'll end up getting the nod. But he said he's okay with the team's decision to wait on making anything official.
I just think it's all about competition, especially, I know, coming from college. Like, that was the same way it was when I came into Clemson. There was, you know, Kelly Bryant was the returning starter, was quarterback the year before, had a good season, and coming into that, it's like you don't just walk in and get handed things. And I just think that's a good way to run an organization, a team, whatever. People have to earn whatever they're given.
I get it to some degree, this idea that you have to earn your position.
Yeah.
In high school and college, but we treat the quarterback position differently than we treat every other position. So why wouldn't we do that in the NFL? This idea that you have to earn your spot as the starting quarterback when you're the number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence is silly. It's honestly silly. Like, I get it. Every other position, you got to come into camp, you got to war, you got to earn your position. Like, the starting left tackle that just got a 5-year extension is not earning his position in camp. It sounds cute, but he's the starter. The center that's been starting for 3 years with the same starting quarterback isn't earning his position. He's the starter. Similarly, the starting quarterback is the starter. We know Trevor Lawrence is a starter, right? If he's not capable of beating out Gardner Minshew, don't you think you have pretty big problems in Jacksonville?
Well, I think what they're doing in Jacksonville is creating a culture.
Right, but I'm a grown woman. You're a grown man. There's just certain things that when we're told, we're like,
but the locker
okay.
room,
like
the,
that's cute.
But the locker room isn't grown people.
Are grown men. Well, they're all grown men. Every single person in that locker room is a grown a man.
Well, they're a grown man physically, but
mentally too. They're in the NFL. They get a check to do what they do.
Yeah,
they're not like forming their morals and like becoming grown-ups. They are grown men. They are professionals.
But it's
get it.
It's a young roster full of kids.
I think it's really silly.
Well, I mean, you're saying it's a grown man, but the most crimes in the world are committed by men under 26. I would love to think that all men are grown-ups at 20. You know, society essentially has all their rules in place to protect us from young men. So, and I'm not saying the Jaguars specifically, but Jacksonville's young. It's got a bunch of kids.
I understand he's trying to build a culture. Like, if Trevor Lawrence isn't the starter, isn't that more concerning
else? I think when you take over, because Urban's a culture builder. So he's done this like over and over and over. It's always worked. What he's trying to put in place in this really young roster is Even my number one guy has to earn it. I'm not handing you guys anything. And so a roster with a ton of 23-year-old guys, I mean, you can make an argument of there's 10 best players, like seven have been in the league either last year's draft or this year's draft. And I think he's trying to create this. Nothing is given here. And that's what Urban does. And I think if you go back and look at Utah and Bowling Green in Florida, he walks in and it's like, nothing's given. Even my superstar quarterback, nothing is given. And it's obviously, we get it. But I think I'm not going to question Urban's ability to build a culture.
No, I agree for every other position.
And Urban looks
like
at it,
even if you are the starting, like if you're the starting left tackle and you have a long-term contract, like you're obviously the guy.
When they don't have a single elite player.
Sure.
Not, I mean, not even one.
I'm just saying there's also a value to me to saying this is the guy and we are going to build around him. And he is the leader and the voice of our locker room in Trevor Lawrence. He was a number one overall pick for a reason. We trust him. He's better than Gardner Minshew and he is going to lead us and be the cornerstone of our culture. Couldn't you argue that there is some value in that as well?
Yeah, but I've never created a culture. So my takeaway is here's a guy that's done something over and over. It's worked every time. He's kind of done it the exact same way. Basically, Urban's the Bill Parcells of college. They're culture builders. They don't stay around forever, but they literally overnight, Parcells and Urban, more than Saban, by the way. Saban takes 3 years at Michigan State, 3 years at LSU, didn't work at Miami, 3 years Alabama before they were great. So Urban and Parcells turn it around overnight. And Parcells' trick was always, I mean, Bill Parcells' trick was he would take the roster in the NFL, and a roster was like 55 people, and he would really concentrate not on the top 20 players, but the back end of the roster. He would get these workout guys and these kind of like blue collar guys that you didn't see much on television, but they were like tough and they changed the locker room. Urban in college has done it through sheer recruiting.
Right. Which you can't do in the NFL.
Well, a little bit, you can get five or six players, but I think, I just think I'm going to give Urban a year of this whole culture of, I'm not even going to give Trevor Lawrence the starting job. And this is not a knock on young men in the world, but you and I look at this and say it's common sense, but you can move groups of men around. Look at what our...
No, I think leadership is incredibly important and establishing a culture is massively important. You saw what happened in Cleveland. I think Cleveland is the best example of that in the league right now. They were a dumpster fire for decades and now they are legitimate contenders and absolutely have a culture and absolutely have a leader. And while they haven't paid him as such yet, I think Baker is the leader of that team. For me, if you prolong this too long, I'm going to start to think that maybe Trevor Lawrence isn't capable of winning the starting job in camp.
Well, again, we're only 3 weeks into it. So I think they're going to play their final game.
Right.
And then I think they'll name it. I just watched these. I mean, Belichick, creating a culture, it doesn't really matter in basketball. You just need players.
Right.
And in baseball, I need an ace, a good bullpen. But football's weird. Football's a different sport.
I see both sides of it. I just think in some cases with these quarterback competitions, it starts to get a little bit like, so is he not actually capable of winning that job? Also, more bad news for Jacksonville, if you haven't heard yet. Travis Etienne suffered a significant tear and a serious Liz Frank injury that knocks him out for the next several months and potentially the season. He's going to have surgery. So
I just looked up Liz Frank injuries. It's a weird injury that looks like you'd be out 2 weeks, but it says here you're often out 12.
Yeah.
It's LISFRANC. I had no idea. I'd heard it before. So I looked it up because my initial takeaway is a sprained ankle. I'm out 12 weeks, but it's a broken bone. So it's just, it needs a cast.
Yeah. It's in a very weird place.
And he's a running back planting his foot. Yes. So he's probably out at least until December, January.
Yeah. So Joe Burrow, speaking of injuries, hasn't played in the first two Bengals preseason games, and their head coach, Zach Taylor, won't reveal if he'll get any time in their last one this weekend. He is coming off that ACL and MCL injury from last season, but his coach, Zach Taylor, said he's seen enough from Burrow in camp to know that he is going to be ready to play in the regular season. He had his injury about 9 months ago, so this is actually, for an injury of that nature, a pretty amazing turnaround if he's ready to go week one.
I mean, listen, Carson Wentz was supposed to be 12 weeks.
Yeah.
He's back in three. First of all, athletes are in better shape, eat better, training better, doctors better. Like, you're seeing this literally across all sports. Everybody comes back sooner. Everybody.
It's really remarkable. I mean, an ACL used to be like well over a year, then down to a year. And now 9 months later, he's going to be starting week one.
It's weird because, you know, I'm hearing a lot of questions and dubious reports on the medical profession in America the last year. But yet it's amazing that it's actually getting better. Our doctors and our surgeons are better than they've ever been. But yet it's funny. We had this pandemic and everybody says doctors don't know what they're doing. It's weird. I'm trying to reconcile all of it.
If you can figure it out, let me know, because I am completely baffled.
Suddenly, guys on Reddit boards know more than epidemiologists. Yet in foot sports, medical professionals have never been better at getting our hurt athletes back on the field.
People just don't like being told what to do.
It's amazing.
That's what it really comes down to, I believe. So Cam Newton, speaking of all of that, is missing crucial practice time this week after being placed in COVID protocol. And there's reportedly internal frustration with the Patriots, within the Patriots, because of the situation. One source also said that this could open the door for Mac Jones to win the starting job. And today, when Belichick was asked if Newton being out is a big opportunity for Jones, he said, "It is." Which is kind of an interesting response from Bill Belichick.
What Mac Jones really has to overcome is the worst nickname in sports,
Mac and Cheese.
I
like Mac and Cheese.
It sounds sluggish. It sounds slow and unathletic. I mean, the history of nicknames. You want a nickname like a Mamba or something that is like urgent or fast or Mac and Cheese. Every time I eat Mac and Cheese, I'm full. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the couch and I turn on like the Lifetime channel.
I don't know. I mean, you can't. Have you ever had a nickname besides Herd?
No. I even know who gave it to me.
I have never had a nickname. My name's too short to have a nickname. Some people call me JT, but that's only when my brother's not around, because everyone calls
Jason. Somebody gave me the nickname in Vegas and I was like, that's a good name for a show. I was not at the time a beloved talk show host.
Did you pay them for that?
I was in sales. And he just had a nickname. He was like, my boss at the time was like George Bush. Remember George Bush had a nickname for everybody? He'd be at a press conference. He'd go, Scooty, Doobie, Luby. Like George Bush literally had a nickname for everybody in the press. And then this guy was a nickname guy. And he said, hey, Herd. I was like, boom, light bulb. It's going to work on Broadway.
It did pretty well.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Trust or bust, our quarterback game. Next, The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Trust or bust. Joy and I are going to play a game. One, you're a bust. Five, I trust you. And this is my trust in you as a franchise quarterback. We got a bunch of young guys. So we're taking all the quarterbacks under 25. Now, there's a lot of things to consider. Your talent, your owner, your roster, your position.
And you're considering all those things.
Everything.
Okay.
So trust or bust, you as a franchise quarterback, 25 years or younger.
All right. Mac Jones.
Three. That's better than average. 2.5 is in the middle. So I'm seeing success. The Patriots have the number 3 ranked offensive line in the NFL. And he has the number 1 passing grade among rookies. I don't take a ton from that because they have played. New England's played some starters, and the teams they're playing are not playing starters. So let's not go crazy on his preseason. But I think this is a hard situation to fail. O-line, running backs, great defense. So I see success, although a low ceiling, 3 thumbs up on the trust bus scale.
Okay. 1 to 5. How much do you trust Zach Wilson?
3. I think he's a better talent than Mac Jones, has a great arm, and I do think his general manager, Joe Douglas, is really smart, and I also think he inherits a much better team than Sam Darnold. So, you know, I think it's going to take time, and he's looked really good in preseason. I would say, again, he has faced not a single starting unit. So I could lean more toward the three to Mac Jones and more toward the two with him, but I'll give him three because he has looked good in preseason.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you trust Tua?
So I'm going to give him the Mac Jones grade, 3, which means he's going to win games. I don't see a star. A star is a 4. 5?
Superstar.
Yeah, so 4 is a star. I don't see Tua as a star. I think he'll be the 11th most talented player on the Dolphins this year. But what does he inherit? Excellent GM. Really good head coach. Excellent weapons. Tremendous get-you-off-the-field defense. So I see him as a winning starter this year.
Lamar Jackson.
5.
Big trust. Yeah. Lamar Jackson.
That's right. Lamar Jackson to me is a 5. He has won 80% of his games. He's also beaten good teams. 15 times he's played a winning team. He's 10-5. Yeah, I would love if he sat in the pocket and threw like Mahomes, but Mahomes can't run like him. So 2 of his losses have been to the Chiefs. You take those out and he's winning like 85% of his games. Hard worker, good organization, is going to be in the playoffs most of the next decade.
Joe Burrow.
Worry about the injury, ownership, and I don't know if he has a great coach, so I'd give him 4. I think he's a star, but there are limitations. Whereas Lamar has tremendous ownership, coaching, and historic foundational support with the right. Ravens, the Bengals don't have that. So, I mean, if you put Joe Burrow with the Patriots, he could be a 5. Cincinnati holds him back, he's a 4.
Trevor Lawrence.
And I'll throw out a 5, and it's risky because I don't trust anything else right now except him, but I think he's a prodigy. I think once a decade, we get a guy that can overcome nonsense. Now, he's not going to overcome it this year, but I think by next year in that division, they're battling and they're playing. They do have some interesting offensive pieces. If you look at James Robinson, DJ Chark, the wide receiver, Marvin Jones, they've got some pieces. And they had a pretty good defensive draft as well. So I think he's a 5.
Drew Lock.
Do not have a lot of promise here. I'm probably going a little low. I'm going to give him a 1. I know, but I just don't see it working. I don't think he has the coach. I probably should do 2. That's kind of mean. But I don't see it. And I think you're in a division with Herbert, Mahomes, and Derek Carr.
The division does matter.
Yeah, I mean, you're going up against all top 12 quarterback talents. I don't care what you want to say about Derek Carr. He's the only thing I can trust with the Raiders. So he gets 6 in division. He has 3 of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league he has to go up against. I'm sorry. That's just not, that to me does not work. We're not going to look up in 5 years and go, oh, it's just a wonderful story about Drew Lock.
Justin Herbert.
5. He literally shattered every passing record behind the worst offensive line in the league.
Very impressive.
And now they've added an elite Pro Bowl center, All-American left tackle, and I thought they hit it out of the park in their draft. To me, he is can't miss.
Daniel Jones.
3. Here's one thing. He throws a really good deep ball, and like Alex Smith, his straight line vertical speed, he is mobile. He can move a little bit. Jason Garrett is a capable offensive coordinator, but not overly creative. I don't love his offensive line, but I do think he is going to eventually be a winning franchise quarterback.
Jalen Hurts.
1. It's not going to work. The coach, he's not talented enough to overcome the nonsense he deals with.
Justin Fields.
4. It's going to be bumpy for a year, but he's a star. I think they need to make moves in the executive level. Everybody in Chicago complains about the coach. I think it's an executive-level situation, so I think he's a star.
Sam Darnold.
3. Don't kid yourself. They have a ton of offensive weapons.
They do.
Christian McCaffrey, Chuba Hubbard, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall, the rookie, looks really good. They have an offensive coach. They're going to score points. They may not stop a nosebleed. They're going to score points.
Very reasonable for your favorite team. Kyler Murray.
5. I mean, I'm sorry, he's a playmaker. He's Russell Wilson without all the college starts. I think he's really good. And by the way, improved in every category, and we're not sure he has the right coach. Heck, we're not sure his GM and his head coach got to win this year. I don't have a lot of doubts with him. I don't have a lot of doubt. When I watch him play, closest thing to Russell Wilson. That's pretty good. Pretty good comp, as they say. All right, we're out of time. Done talking today. I may have steak and oysters again tonight.
Strong.
Living on the wild side.